are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. And today we're going to talk about the Timberwolves 1-1 weekend after they defeated the Warriors in overtime on Friday night and fell in overtime to the Denver Nuggets on Sunday in a matinee. Minnesota was again without both point guards in both games, with Jeff Teague sitting out due to illness for his second and ultimately third straight games, and Shabazz Napier also missing his third straight game on Sunday because of a strained hamstring that he suffered last Monday against Milwaukee. Both guys have now missed, as mentioned, three games, as has Jordan Bell with a shoulder injury, although still unclear whether or not he would be part of the regular rotation if everybody's healthy. Today we're going to talk about each of those games and what the key takeaways were, some silver linings from the loss yesterday, and then we'll look ahead to Monday night's tilt in Detroit as the Wolves will play their first back-to-back set of the season, traveling after Sunday's game against Denver to play the Pistons on the road on Monday. So it's a packed show today. Got essentially three games to cover. So let's go ahead and jump in with some quick notes on Wolves' Warriors from Friday night. Golden State got D'Angelo Russell back after having missed a few games with an ankle injury. And Russell was fantastic. He scored 52 points in this one. Took him 37 shots to do it, but the Timberwolves continue to play drop coverage in the pick and roll game. They've been torched by opposing point guards. When they lost to Memphis, John Morant had an awesome game against them. Obviously going back to Kyrie Irving on opening night with his 50 points. And so in this one on Friday, the Wolves coverage was conducive to D'Angelo Russell killing them from the mid-range, and he prefers to do that versus drive to the rim. So the Wolves ran into some trouble and didn't really get Towns to play up on Russell and contest his mid-range jumpers until late in the game, late in the fourth quarter, and really not until overtime, when Towns really got up instead of dropping back in the pick and roll game. And I guess not just Towns, but any of the other big men guarding the pick and roll. In most cases, it was Cat. So Russell killed them from the mid-range, killed them from beyond the arc. He was 7 of 17, got off 17 three-pointers in this one. He only shot 8 free throws, considering how much he had the ball in his hands. The Warriors didn't have anybody else that attempted more than 10 shots in this game to Russell's 37. So finally, the Wolves recognized that Russell wasn't trying to get to the rim. He was just trying to shoot threes and shoot some mid-range jumpers. But he's a good enough shooter and comfortable enough, especially from the mid-range, that the Wolves needed to adjust their defense, and they finally did late in the game. Overall, Karl Anthony Towns was pretty quiet in this one. He only had 20 points and 14 rebounds. Only shot the ball 17 times, which is a fairly low number for him. Didn't touch the ball much. I think he had 2 touches and maybe 1 shot attempt in the fourth quarter in this one. Got a little bit more involved in overtime, had a big offensive rebound and put back. He had 5 offensive rebounds in the game. So overall, a decent game from him, just a little bit quieter. And he, quite honestly, he didn't need to do that much because of Andrew Wiggins' strong game. Wiggins came right back at Russell's 52 points with 40 of his own and was huge down the stretch in an overtime, ultimately hitting a 3 that basically put the game away late in overtime. Wiggins had 40 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds, 3 blocks in this game, and 0 turnovers, which 7 assists and 0 turnovers. He was effectively running the point for the majority of the game. Culver started there, but only played 23 minutes, and Wiggins was initiating the offense far more than, for instance, Trevion Graham was, or Jake Layman. Jordan McLaughlin only had 15 points, off the bench as the backup point guard in this one. So it really was the Andrew Wiggins show in terms of running the point. So a solid all around game from Andrew, one of the better games that we've seen him have. And he was a big reason why the Timberwolves ended up on top in this one. Outside of Wiggins, Towns had the 20 points and nobody else really did a whole lot on offense. Covington had 17 points, took him 15 shots to get there. He was only 2 of 10 from beyond the arc. Did have 11 rebounds, 5 steals, 3 blocks. We'll get to his defense late in the game here in just a moment. Some more on Covington here in just a second. The Wolves ultimately in this game trailed by 4 with 29.8 seconds left after Russell hit a jumper. And the Wolves had the ball. Robert Covington missed his second open 3 in I believe as many possessions late in the fourth quarter that would have cut the lead to one, but Towns grabbed the offensive rebound and was fouled, hit both free throws, and then as the Warriors were trying to bring the ball back up the court, up two, and for some reason didn't call a timeout there to advance the ball, the Wolves trapped Golden State in the backcourt, and when they passed the ball ahead to Alec Burks, Robert Covington forced a jump ball, ultimately won the jump ball at center court, and Wiggins beat his man to the rim. The Warriors were so concerned with giving up a three to lose the game that they did not pick him up as he beat his man to the rim, and Wiggins made a layup. Ultimately, after a timeout, Russell misses a step-back three-pointer in a tie game, sends the game to overtime. A little bit of back and forth early in overtime. The Timberwolves really, really did control the period. Wiggins hit a big three to extend the Wolves' lead to four with just about 30 seconds left. And then the winning play there was all Robert Covington, as he got a steal on Glenn Robinson the third with about 20 seconds left, was fouled in the open court, and made both free throws to put the Wolves up six with 14 seconds left. So huge defense from Covington down the stretch, huge offense from Wiggins down the stretch. Josh Okogie also had a strong stretch of play late in the fourth quarter when he came in the game, got a big block and a steal, scored on, I believe he had a big dunk on the offensive end. And again, Towns overall was quiet but solid in this one. So all around, an impressive game from the Wolves. Outside of allowing 52 to Russell, they really kept everybody else fairly quiet on the Warriors side of things. And the Wolves kind of come into games knowing that they're going to give up big games to opposing point guards. Alec Burks had 18 off the bench, and Eric Paschal was the only other starter for the Warriors in double figures with 12 points, but it took him 10 shots to get there. And he only had one rebound as the starting power forward in this game. So all around solid game from the Wolves, huge from Wiggins, huge defense from Covington, and really a feel good win, especially given what followed on Sunday. But for the Wolves to get another win against a team with a legit all-star leading them without their point guards at their disposal, no Teague and no Napier, yet you really had to feel good about that one on Friday night. All right, next up, we're going to talk about the Timberwolves' loss on Sunday to the Nuggets. It was a matinee. The game tipped off at 2:30 p.m. Central. It was the primetime game being shown overseas. I believe it was like 109 countries or something like that. So it was the Europe, the featured game in Europe on Sunday between really the build showdown between Nikola Jokic and Karl-Anthony Towns. In the past, the Wolves had guarded Jokic primarily with Taj Gibson the last couple of years to free up Towns and not force him to guard the Nuggets' most dynamic offensive player. But they, for the most part, guarded each other in this game, and Towns was clearly the better player on this night, despite the fact that Jokic ended up getting the last laugh in overtime. But it was a fun matchup to watch throughout the game. They're obviously pretty different players. The Wolves were, again, without their point guards in this one, so they had Jarrett Culver in the starting lineup once again, and relied heavily on Andrew Wiggins to initiate their offense. And the other, I guess, key headline from this game was just how terrible the Timberwolves were from beyond the arc. I haven't seen anything yet about whether or not this was like legitimately a record for ineptitude, either in franchise history or just generally, like forever in the NBA, because it was a pretty terrible performance from the Wolves. They were 6 of 45 from beyond the arc. That's just over 13%. On 45 attempts. The Nuggets only attempted 28 threes themselves and shot 39%. The biggest culprits for the Wolves, Towns was 3 of 14 from beyond the arc, so uncharacteristically terrible in this one. And then they had Jake Layman was 0 for 6. Travion Graham and Jarrett Culver reached 0 for 4. Gorgui Dieng was 0 for 3. Josh Okogie was the only other guy to make multiple threes. He was 2 of 6 from beyond the arc. Wiggins was 1 of 6. Just awful in terms of three-point shooting in this game. And they once again were really successful in the paint and great when they were trying to get to the rim. The Wolves ended up shooting 33 free throws to the Nuggets 17 and were easily the aggressors in this one. In kind of a weird twist, both teams entered the game with defenses that were hovering around top 10 to top 15 in the league in terms of defensive rating, but offenses that were in the bottom third of the league in the 20s. So both teams' defenses are ahead of their offenses at this point in the season. And the other interesting note is the Nuggets entered the game with the league's slowest pace. They were 30th in pace, and the Timberwolves were number one in pace. One of the advantages the Nuggets ended up having in this game was slowing the Wolves down, and the Wolves just let them do it. This was a game that went to overtime, and the winning team only had 100 points in a 198 final score. So clearly there weren't as many possessions in this game as the Wolves would have liked to have had, combined with their terrible three-point shooting. And it's actually kind of miraculous that they forced this game to go to overtime. It was close throughout the first half. The Wolves were actually up two at halftime, would have been up by more, but Will Barton hit a crazy three-pointer at the buzzer. But Denver dominated the third quarter and took a 12-point lead into the final quarter. And actually built that lead to 16. It was 90-74 about midway through in the fourth quarter before the Wolves really buckled down on defense. And it was a really impressive performance defensively, maybe as much on that end of the floor, certainly as much on that end of the floor as it was on offense. The Warriors last scored in the fourth quarter at the 6:43 mark to make it 90-74. So about 6.5 minutes left, and the Wolves went on a 16-0 run to close out the game. Towns had a quick 5-0 run of his own. Josh Okogie had three trips to the free throw, and then he split and only made one of two. And then they also had some contributions from Trevion Graham. And then Karl-Anthony Towns, after missing a couple of open threes to tie the game on back-to-back possessions, he missed two shots in the final 2 minutes from beyond the arc that were wide open. He finally made a three off of an inbounds play in the corner to tie the game at 90 with 42 seconds left. Each team had empty possessions, and the Nuggets actually had a second chance at it. So the Nuggets had two additional empty possessions in the final 40 seconds in between Wiggins missed a pull-up three-pointer, and the game was tied at 90 going to overtime. Again, just missed open threes was kind of the biggest issue in this one. But down the stretch, the wing defense was outstanding. Robert Covington and Trevion Graham, especially Josh Okogie, was also very good. And those guys were just slowing down the Jamal Murray, Will Barton duo really effectively. And Jokic wasn't even really all that involved. He missed some shots down the stretch, but wasn't as big of a part of their offense. The Nuggets were trying to run everything through Murray and Barton, and eventually it kind of collapsed on them there. Down the stretch. In overtime, the Timberwolves scored first. Andrew Wiggins finally took the ball to the rim. He was settling a little bit too much for jumpers in this one. Ultimately had a decent game, but was too focused on shooting jumpers. The Nuggets took a three-point lead about halfway through overtime. The Wolves and Warriors continued to go back and forth, and Covington tied the game with 26 seconds left on a nice play on defense from Josh Okogie, where he stripped the ball from Jamal Murray, hit Robert Covington in a 2-on-1 in the open court. Roko made just his second bucket of the game. So with 26 seconds left, the game was tied again. The Nuggets essentially could hold for something close to the final shot. They did. Jokic tried to drive to the rim. This time they put the ball in the Joker's hands. Towns cut him off, and Jokic decided to shoot about a 15-footer from the left wing, a fadeaway, almost a one-legged Dirk-like shot. And Towns contested it, actually hit him on the hand on the follow-through and could have been called for a foul. Jokic dropped through just a rainbow of a shot. It settled into the rim. And with 2.4 seconds left, the Wolves took a timeout down two. They tried to run a play to get Wiggins open on the catch on the wing, and they struggled to get the ball in bounds. They actually called back-to-back timeouts there at the end. And Paul Millsap was guarding Jake Lehman on the inbounds play and did an outstanding job. He got the ball in with just over, probably under a second to go. But it bounced off Wiggins in the corner. Thankfully, went to Josh Okogie, who heaved a desperation three-pointer that was surprisingly close, but it was certainly not a clean look at the rim. And with 2.5 seconds left, they would have loved to have gotten a better look, or at least had Towns or Wiggins catch the ball cleanly and be able to make a move and try and get to the basket. But ultimately, the Wolves lost by two. This was a game that, again, was all about the opposing guards doing a lot of damage. And ultimately, it was Jokic making a big shot. But Jamal Murray and Will Barton had the opportunity to do even more than they did. Murray had 15 points, took him 19 shots. Will Barton had 13 points, took him 16 shots to get there. Murray also had 7 turnovers to 2 assists in this one. So while the strategy was to allow the guards to do what it was, you know, to handle the ball and get their shots up at the rim. The Wolves actually did a decent job at keeping the Nuggets from doing too much damage, in contrast to, for instance, D'Angelo Russell on Friday, John Morant last Wednesday, or the laundry list of point guards that have had good games against the Wolves. So the defense wasn't the problem in this one. The story was the clanking of threes from beyond the arc, the 6 of 45, the overall 35.1% from the floor, and then also some of the missed free throws down the stretch. I mean, they shot 33 free throws and were almost 73% on them, which isn't terrible, but Okogie split three trips to the line down the stretch and was probably, I guess, the biggest culprit in that regard. But a kind of a sloppy game from Towns, you know, 3 of 14 from beyond the arc, finished with 25 points, 16 rebounds, 6 assists. He did have 5 turnovers, but he was good on defense. The Wolves were led in plus minus by Trevion Graham and Jarrett Culver. Graham was a plus 9 and Culver was a plus 5. Gorgui Dieng was a plus 7 in just 10 minutes. I guess notable also, Jordan McLaughlin only played 9 minutes at the backup point guard spot, and Gorgui Dieng, outside of the first quarter, took over the backup center spot from Noah Vonleh, who had 5 first quarter minutes. And then Gorgui played the next couple of stretches on the floor behind Towns. So it'll be interesting to see if Ryan Saunders continues to kind of go with the hot hand moving forward between Gorgui and Noah Vonleh. But there's only going to be, you know, 10 to 15 minutes a game behind Towns available. So it'll be interesting to see what he does with that. So all things considered, not a terrible game from the Wolves outside of the shooting. They're probably never going to shoot that bad from three again, and they will get Jeff Teague and Shabazz Napier back. So, well, it's not great that they dropped to 5-4 and had a chance to beat a division rival and a really good team. It's great that they had that late fourth quarter run and the 16-0 run to force the game to overtime, and the Nuggets had to get really a lucky kind of rainbow fall-away shot from Jokic to fall for his second straight game winner in as many games, in order to lose this game to the Nuggets. So overall, a decent performance from the Wolves if you throw out the atrocious shooting. And here's hoping that that was a one-night thing and that the law of averages correct themselves a bit on Monday night in Detroit. And more on that matchup with the Pistons here in a second. On Monday night, the Wolves will be in Detroit to take on the Pistons on the back end of their first back-to-back of the season after losing to the Nuggets in the matinee on Sunday. Traveled to Detroit. The game's at 6 p.m. Central Time. The Pistons this year have been about as mediocre as everyone expected. They're 4-6 so far. They've somehow played the Pacers 3 times already and lost to them on Saturday night after beating them the first 2 times they matched up. So in their 4-6, they have 2 wins against the Pacers, who are also going to be a fairly 500-ish team this year. They beat the Nets at home, who the Wolves had beaten in overtime on the road, and then they beat the Knicks by 20 at home. Teams they've lost to the Wizards and Bulls, so not great losses. They also lost to the Hawks, which is at least looking a little bit better than it would have a year ago. They also lost to the Sixers and the Raptors. So 4-6 so far, but really we're beating the teams that they should have beaten and lost to the teams they should have lost to. Not a whole lot surprising there. With the Wolves on a back-to-back and traveling, this really feels like a toss-up. The line for this game coming into it, and I lost it here, but the line coming into the game on, I lost it. I'll get back to the line for this particular game, but I would imagine the Pistons to be very, very slightly favored in this one. Blake Griffin will be playing for the Pistons on Monday. This is his season debut, so certainly notable. After missing the first 10 games of the season due to hamstring and knee issues, Griffin practiced on Sunday and will have a minutes restriction. The Pistons have not announced what that'll be. Griffin is a guy who typically plays really heavy minutes. He was in tops in the league last year, in the top, you know, few in the league. He was around 35 minutes a game last season, but odds are his minutes restriction is going to be somewhere in the 20 to 25 range. And that's just me guessing, but it would seem to make sense. So it'll be interesting to see how much Griffin's involved and what that minutes restriction is. But that hopefully that's the sort of thing where it throws the Pistons off to reintegrate their best player into the offense. The Wolves, of course, as we just talked about, lost to the Nuggets on Sunday, had some bad luck with the rims. It felt like both teams actually had some bad luck with the rims, with a lot of in and out shots. But the Wolves lost barely to a good team and are now 5-4 in the season. This is a winnable game for the Wolves, despite being on the second half of a back-to-back. Here's hoping that Jeff Teague's available in this game. He's missed now three games with an illness, and the team hasn't really given much additional information. Fox Sports North said during Friday's broadcast of the Warriors game that that Teague was at the game or at practice on Friday and was around the facility. So that would lead me to believe that he should be close to getting better and maybe is, who knows what the illness was. I don't want to speculate too much, but perhaps he's just working back into game shape. Shabazz Napier with his hamstring injury, it seems less likely he'd be ready to play on Monday after having not played Sunday. The Wolves will probably give him another couple nights off at least. So hopefully Teague's back and the Wolves can at least have some semblance of a bit of a point guard rotation and not put all the ball handling responsibility on Wiggins and on Jarrett Culver. The best players for the Pistons so far this season in the absence of Griffin, Detroit kind of feels like the team that's perpetually running it back, if you will. They obviously have Derrick Rose in the fold this year, but they've relied heavily on Andre Drummond once again. Obviously, Derrick Rose has actually been quite good in the six games in which he's appeared thus far. Rose is day-to-day. He didn't play in their last game against the Pistons. If you hadn't seen the news, Reggie Jackson last week was announced as out for the next few weeks with a stress reaction in his back. And also day-to-day is Tim Frazier. So the Pistons are a little bit thin in their backcourt, even if they are getting Griffin back. So if Rose plays, he's been good so far this year. He's been a positive contributor just as he was early in the season for the Wolves last year. He's actually averaging 20.8 points per game and 6.3 points per game off the bench in just 25 minutes a contest. The Pistons have, again, relied heavily on Drummond, who's averaging 21 and 18 this season. Luke Kennard's also been great. He's been in the starting lineup for the last few games and has averaged 18 points and is shooting 42.4% from beyond the arc. The Pistons also have Markieff Morris in the front court, so Drummond and Morris together are a challenge for Towns. You may remember that Towns struggles with Andre Drummond, and Drummond knows that. Drummond's physicality, and especially on the second night of a back-to-back, could be difficult for Towns. Remember, Towns shot just 3 of 14 on Sunday, so perhaps there's some course correction there with the law of averages, and maybe Towns will get some open looks from the perimeter in this one and be able to knock them down. That's with the Wolves' new offense, essentially running a 4-out or a 5-out. The majority of the time, Towns should get plenty of opportunities to beat Drummond on the perimeter instead of battling him down low. My guess would be that Towns sees very few post touches in this game and probably not when Drummond's in the game. And it's not that Drummond's an outstanding defender. He's a good defender. But I think the wear and tear of battling Drummond in the post on offense would be too much when he's going to have to deal with him on the glass and in the post on defense as well. So look for the Wolves to really, again, launch a ton of threes. Here's hoping that they drop a little bit better than the 13% that they hit them at on Sunday. So Wolves Pistons, on Monday night at 6 o'clock, we'll be back on Tuesday morning with the with a kind of a recap and the studs and duds from the game. We'll go through who had the best games for each respective team. And I guess one other note, there isn't a line on the Wolves Pistons game, surely due to Griffin's status, which I guess is still a little bit questionable. But the report is that he's going to play. So I would expect once it comes out for the Wolves to be a slight favorite in this game still, maybe a point and a half on the road, even against the Pistons with Blake Griffin's return. So once again, we'll be back on Tuesday morning with a recap from the game. That's all we have for you today. Thanks for listening once again to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.